And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. With the school in New Talk shuttered, a community ravaged by climate change is now without an emergency evacuation center. And much of the community's critical infrastructure is on the brink of failure. Emily Schwing has more.
A catastrophic generator fire at the New Talk Iaprun School in January took the community's backup drinking water source offline. But at the time, New Talk was drawing all of its drinking water from the school because the main water plant was inoperable. Those problems at the water plant have now been fixed. Alexi Killengock is New Talk's water plant operator. He says there are still other issues, especially involving the community's storage tank.
There's like 50 patches in there.
50 patches on the tank?
Yes, about.
How old is that tank, do you know?
1982, 83.
The giant 40-year-old tank holds up to 211,000 gallons of water. It sits on a huge wooden platform in the center of the village. When it's full, it weighs nearly 1.7 million pounds, the equivalent of more than 800 one-ton pickup trucks. Right now, the tank is running low, and it's not clear if it's safe to fill this summer.
It's all rotten, that is. Even under here, it's sinking.
The platform that supports the tank is sinking into the ground.
It's all rotten.
Alexi, this looks really bad. Really bad.
It is bad.
Does this building actually have 5 years left in it?
I think so. That's it up now.
You think so, or you hope so?
I hope so.
You hope so?
Well, maybe we'll be gone before 5 years is up. So.
For three decades, the residents of New Talk have been trying to relocate 9 miles across the Ninglick River to a new subdivision called Machtarvik. The single greatest hurdle is available housing. Until everyone has a place to live, people will stay in New Talk, where melting permafrost continues to degrade critical infrastructure. At the back end of town, a half dozen diesel tanks stand at precarious angles. They were already listing before the remnants from Typhoon Murbach slammed into Alaska's west coast last fall. That storm has changed the minds of so many residents who were otherwise unsure about moving. Bosco John works at New Talk's small power plant.
Do you think people are safe here in New Talk?
I don't think so, because of the flood. Yeah. That like house over there, it reached and it lifted it up and kind of almost dragged it away. But luckily the power line the ground wire was holding onto it.
John keeps a diesel-powered generator running so that the lights stay on throughout the village.
Everything's getting old, and yeah, right now it's kind of hard, and we're waiting on for new parts so we can get it running and make things easier.
If the current power plant went offline, there would be no electricity in New Talk. The school doesn't have power or running water. And it's the community's emergency evacuation center. Many people stayed there for days after Murbach. If another storm like it were to strike now, people here would have nowhere to go.
This village has been through so much that I think you get a resilience to everything.
Dawn Lloyd is New Talk school principal. She's confident a new generator will be up and running at the school by the end of the summer. But she says what's happening in the community is scary, and she doesn't see an immediate solution.
The village has just been through so much that they just, okay, it's one more really bad thing. I think most generally have the sense that if it was a genuine emergency, they would go somewhere.
Tanunik is more than 40 miles south by boat and snow machine. Tuksuk Bay and Nightmute are also options, but those trips would take even longer. In an email, Jeremy Zedek, a spokesman with the State Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, said it's the community's responsibility to organize and manage their emergency shelter. Zedek said if the community doesn't have a functioning emergency shelter, the state would check in with the local government to see what needs to happen, and it could help in an evacuation. Dawn Lloyd says she's not sure people outside New Talk really understand what residents here are dealing with every day.
But I think if they did realize how scary it was, Moktovik would have gotten finished sooner, would be what I'd like to think.
In Nutok, I'm Emily Schwing.
The terminal of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System is at risk of a serious accident or incident in the near future. That's the main takeaway of a sweeping 180-page report that was published last month. It details wide-ranging safety concerns at the Valdez Marine Terminal, where North Slope crude is loaded onto ocean tankers. The Alaska Pipeline Service Company says it's taking the report seriously. But as KMXT's Kirsten Dobreth reports, coastal communities say time is of the essence.
Early last year, an Alyeska employee working at the Valdez Marine Terminal, which is the southern end of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, reported smelling fumes. Heavy snow had damaged oil storage tanks at the facility, venting petroleum vapors into the atmosphere. Wayne Donaldson is the City of Kodiak's representative on the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council.
It was noticed by an employee at Alyeska that was walking around and happened to smell toxic fumes coming out of the tanks.
The Advisory Council is one of two federally mandated oil spill prevention groups formed in response to the 1989 Exxon Valdez spill, which saturated more than 1,000 miles of Alaska's coastline, including Kodiak Island's shores, in oil. He says after the incident at the terminal last year, more Alyeska employees started contacting the group.
And as time went on, more people started coming to us, giving safety concerns, as well as retired people from Alyeska.
The Advisory Council commissioned a review of safety practices at the terminal last summer in light of the complaints, and a final report was published last month. It encompasses nearly 200 pages of major safety concerns at the Valdez Marine Terminal. Equipment the report calls aging and obsolete, a work culture that includes retaliation among employees, mismanagement and turnover, and shrinking federal and state budgets that have decreased regulatory oversight. In response to the report, the Advisory Council sent letters to lawmakers, including the governor and Alaska's congressional delegation, citing the need for federal audits of the terminal. Alyeska Pipeline Service Company manages the pipeline and the terminal. Michelle Egan is Alyeska's chief communications officer.
We don't agree with everything in the report, but we do take it as an opportunity to improve.
Egan is also from Kodiak, and she says she, like many others at Alyeska, is acutely aware of what an oil spill does to coastal communities. She says Alyeska has formed a management team to work on an action plan in response to the report. Much of the report, however, comes directly from Alyeska staff, many of whom said they think a serious incident is imminent. Brooke Taylor is the director of communications for the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council. She says the internal knowledge of problems at the terminal is one of the biggest weaknesses identified in the report.
There wasn't any substantive information in the report regarding safety or process safety issues that wasn't already available to Alyeska.
About 4% of the nation's crude oil departs from the Valdez Marine Terminal, a percentage that could swell in the coming years as oil from the recently approved Willow Project makes its way down the pipeline. Taylor says an incident at the Valdez Marine Terminal has the potential to be environmentally devastating, and it threatens one of the state's main sources of revenue.
For us, it's not pro or con industry. It's if oil is going to be transported through our region, we want it done as safely as possible.
Alyeska hired a new chief executive officer the same month the report came out, former BP executive John Kurtz. Egan, the company spokesperson, says he's met with members of the advisory group several times since then.
He wants to work with the RCAC and with our employees to make this the safest environment we can possibly have. So I think that commitment has been clear. He's communicated that repeatedly to our workforce and to all of our stakeholders.
The Advisory Council's Taylor agrees that Alyeska has responded quickly to the report and understands changes at the terminal won't happen overnight.
Time will tell on what actions are done. So we know our biggest successes have always happened when industry regulation and citizen groups work together. And so we are hoping this will be another example of that.
Wayne Donaldson says he's also encouraged by Alyeska's initial response to the report, but it's been more than 30 years since the Exxon Valdez oil spill. He worries that the biggest challenge now is time and complacency. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
And with a temperature of 73 degrees recorded at the Juneau International Airport this afternoon, Juneau has officially had its first 70-degree day of the year. Temperatures are expected to stay warm tomorrow, with highs in the low to mid-70s. But rain will return as we head into the weekend, so get out there and enjoy it. For more stories, check out ktro.org.